message by Pastor Joshua Johnian is made possible by Maranatha Partners, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. You will find us online at maranathach.com. Click the Connect with Us on Facebook tab to visit Pastor Joshua's daily devotionals, teaching notes, video clips, and a complete archive of Pastor Joshua's daily blog. These teachings are intended to unpack and present an innovative approach to understanding the questions of purpose and destiny through the Word of God. We now join today's teaching, already in progress.
Prayer. And 2 weeks ago, I shared the message on courage. We're going to continue this message today about power. And there's an awesome truth I really feel so firmly to get into you today. I hope it jumps off the pages of God's Word into your life. 1 Kings 18 is where we're actually spending the narrative of the biblical context of this teaching series. Now, this is part of a bigger series of teachings on revival. Because we've been going through a series of teachings that have been talking about us understanding the biblical principles of revival. But today we're talking about something a little bit different in the vein, but you're going to see how it all comes together. I said a couple weeks ago, we are just not naturally courageous people. We're just not. Now, there's some of us that are brave and have courage, and we know that in the world there are people who do courageous and really brave things. But what we also came to a conclusion of is that we are people that need God's courage in our life. Because when we are operating in God courage, what He actually is able to do for us is fill us with who He is. You see, the great thing about God is God has never lacked courage and God has never lacked power. And God has never lacked the need to be able to answer prayer. He can always answer prayer, right? He always has courage. He always has power. The problem that we encounter as believers is when we try to walk in our own courage or in our own power, and then we realize, I don't have enough. I don't have enough to get through this struggle. I don't have enough to get through this battle. So what we realize is we need God to be in us and ministering through us. The great thing about God courage is when God's courage is in you, here's the guaranteed win. Ready? He's already with you. He's already out in front of you. And He's already orchestrating the situation around you. That's what gives you courage. When you know God is already in the situation. But what we also need to get into our understanding, and this is something I said 2 weeks ago, is this. We have made God so small when He is really this big. And the truth is, it's not totally our fault, because we live in a world that is difficult. There are challenges. There are struggles. You have adversities. You have coworkers that are difficult. You have problems going on in your life. You might get into a health situation. And what happens is, while all that's going in there, we start getting God, who's out here, way down into this little box. And the truth is, also in church, we put God in a box. We get a nice little comfortable box of how God does everything when God is really out here big. And so what we need to do is we need to challenge ourselves to get a hold of, if I need God courage, I don't need to need God courage in a small situation. I need God courage in every part of my life. And I don't just need God power for a little bit of today. I need God's power for every day. I don't need just a little answered prayer right now in my immediate, whatever's going on. I need God to answer all my prayer in every situation and in every way. And here's the beautiful thing. With God courage comes God's power. Here's what we have to also understand. Since we don't have the courage and we don't have the power and we can't answer our own prayers, we realize we're limited, right? So we go to the best possible source, the Father, and say, Father, the answer is in you. The power is in you. The courage is in you. Therefore, I need to trust you in this situation. I need your power and your courage to get me through this. Now, we've been looking at the prophet Elijah. He's the man in 1 Kings 18 that we're looking at. But before we even get to Elijah, there's an interesting fact about power. You ready? Power needs to be developed and it needs to be harnessed. Right? Power doesn't just come out of anywhere. It doesn't just pop on the scene. You can be talking about weightlifters, you can be talking about power plants, you can be talking about automobiles. Power just doesn't happen spontaneously. Think about this term. 0 to 60 in 7 seconds. What does it mean? It means that, what? A car goes from a resting and stopped position to 60 miles per hour when you put your foot on an accelerator and it goes and it gets there in 7 seconds. Now, the technology and all that might be advanced, but the principle is very serious. It's very simple, right? What is it? The car has power stored up in it. And when you hit the button, it goes. But if it doesn't have any power stored up in it, key in the ignition, gas in the tank, you can hit the button all day long. And it's still sitting there. Power has to be harnessed. Power has to be developed. Power has to be a part of this life. Now, I think what becomes interesting is this. Scripture tells us that the power of God is understood that the Father is all-powerful. That's this. The theological term is omnipotent. Okay? He's all-powerful. The Father can do whatever He wills, but His power, now listen carefully, His power is limited to His character. He can do whatever He wants to do, right? But we know God's character is He is holy. He is just. So God will not do unholy things. So when people say, God is all powerful, therefore God is also this. No, God's character already tells you, I am just and I am holy. I will not be able to do that which is unjust and unholy. Because I am limited, though I am omnipotent, by my own character. That's the power of God. Okay? Hold on to that thought for a moment. Because if we hope to draw power from God, the Father, and we hope to carry out kingdom purpose, then we have to come to a reality that we are not omnipotent. We have to be people who develop and store up the power of God. Now, here's the obvious question I hope you're asking right now. How do I store up and harness the power of God? That sounds like I could get a little bit New Agean out there. Trust me, it is biblical, it is scriptural. Because what we're going to see in 1 Kings 18 is Elijah was a man who had stored up the courage and power of God in his life. Now, remember 2 weeks ago, Elijah comes out of nowhere, literally. The scripture tells us in 1 Kings 18 that he's Elijah the Tishbite. The region of the Tishbites is this obscure, rocky terrain by the Sea of Galilee. Nothing is known about Elijah's past. We don't know where he was trained. We don't know anything that was going on. And then all of a sudden, Elijah makes this splash on the scene, walking into the court of Ahab and Jezebel, and says what? Under the courage of God, says there will be no rain in the land until God gives me the permission to say so. There's a drought. Goodbye. And for 3 years, Elijah disappears. 3 years. Think on that for a moment. Comes to the scene. Big splash in the court. God backs it up, it's happening, and Elijah disappears. No public ministry, no one can find him, no one knows where he's at. Now, Scripture tells us where God put him. For part of those 3 years, he was by the brook Cherith. And then, for another part of those 3 years, he was in a suburb called Zarephath near the city of Sidon. But he's sitting there in obscurity for 3 years. Just follow me for a moment, guys. Elijah knew that God was preparing him. You see, Elijah could not have walked into the court of Ahab and Jezebel and said, "Thus saith the Lord, there will be no rain until the Lord says I can say so," unless he had God courage. Which meant Elijah was sitting in the land of the Tishbites, already storing up God courage and God power. He didn't just wake up one morning and say, "Hey, you know what? I'm going to go up there and I'm going to talk to the king and queen. I'm going to tell them something. And I'm just going to see if God's going to back me up on that." No. He was already someone who had stirred up God courage. And we're going to see in today's message, and God power. And then he disappears. Well, what do you think Elijah did in 3 years? Think he took a vacation? You think he stopped reading his word? You think he stopped praying? You think he said, "Well, you know, that was a pretty exciting little journey. I'm done now. Going to kick back on my recliner of life, and I'm just going to wait for God to do the next thing when he wants to call me." No, we're going to see in Scripture, Elijah was a man who could not have walked in God courage and power unless he was harnessing God's courage and power, even in the days of obscurity. Even in the days of obscurity. You see, here's what's going on. Elijah, for 3 years, is being hidden. But what's getting ready to happen after the 3 years of being hiding is that God's getting ready to shoot Elijah out of a God-sized cannon. And it's going to be a real grand display, more than just no rain for 3 years. Because when Elijah comes back on the scene again, God will have already dealt with Elijah and with the hearts of a stubborn people. Can I tell you something real quick? Sometimes you think that your season of I'm obscure is about you. Could also be that God's dealing with other people and your obscurity. You see, God was dealing with Elijah, but God was also dealing with a people who are very stubborn to listening to God. And God was going to use 3 years to remind those people, there's not a drop of rain until I send my servant back out there and say, "It's time to rain. I'm going to work on your heart, Israel." Now, let's carry this a little bit further. Sometimes we think, and I'm guilty of this, sometimes we think that God is holding us back, that we're not getting opportunities, we're not getting recognition, we're not getting the respect. We need to be more like Elijah and be willing to step out in faith and in obedience. But what happens when you're tucked away for 3 years or longer? What happens when you feel like you're seemingly lost and forgotten? Don't despair in your season of hiding. Draw close to God. Go to the source. He is the source of your courage. He is the source of your power. So the question I asked was, how do you harness God's courage and power? And there's only one way. If he's the source, you go to the source, which means you pray to him. You meditate on his word. You inquire of him. You fast. You seek. You worship. You rest in his presence. You see, what we have a tendency of doing is when we feel like God's forgotten us, we turn off the channel on God too. And say, "Well, God, I'm asking you questions and you're not answering, so you know what? I'm just going to go do my own thing. And whenever you want to get it all worked out, you let me know." But that's not what Elijah could have done if he was going to do what he was going to do next in great courage and power. He had to have been by the brook Cherith. He had to have been in the suburb of Zarephath, and he had to have been a man who was seeking God's will in those 3 years of obscurity. Otherwise, he could never have done what he was getting ready to do. Couldn't have. Remember, when Elijah left Ahab and Jezebel's court saying there's no rain, he was a wanted man on penalty of death. He was public enemy number one, and anyone who harbored him were also on warrant of death. So he didn't go into obscurity and be like, "Oh, hey, you know, everything's fine. I got a good little 401k. I'm going to retire. Got a little side job right now. I'm just going to coast." He was a wanted and better off dead than alive man. That's a tough situation to be in. Okay. So now let's carry this a little bit further. What Elijah was doing in those 3 years is he was also being prepared. Remember, guys, God's greatness. Big God here, right? God's greatness is not about destroying. It's about redeeming. God's plan was, I have to let some no rain fall in the season. But you know why? I want to redeem these people who are stubborn and don't want to come back to me. And I got to deal with my prophet Elijah because, quite frankly, he's just a man too. And he can get caught up in the emotion of a moment. So I'm going to work with everything right now because I want to redeem everything. God's thinking big picture here, guys. Big picture. God wants to redeem everything in your life too. And that's why he's willing to work even with the stubborn areas in our lives. He's willing to use circumstances to kind of get in on those stubborn areas to work us out because he wants to redeem us back into his plan. So here's what happens. Power, just listen to this. Here's the definition of power. Power is the capacity to do something by virtue of excellence or rightful authority. That's what power is. The ability to do something by virtue of excellence or rightful authority. But you know what we've also realized in this world? The world can harness as much power as it wants, but it has been corrupt in its harnessing of power. Why? Because the world does not have virtue outside of God, and the world does not have rightful authority outside of God's blessing. When the world operates in its own power and might, it corrupts and self-corrupts. But when God's power is in there, it works. Why? Because God is the only one who has the authority and has the virtue and has the excellence. So when God begins to fill you with his power, you are not walking in your power, but you're walking in his virtue, in his excellence, in his obedience, in his right standing to do something. His power is manifest in history, it's manifest in nature, but it is also beautifully manifest in his redemption. I love this fact that in Isaiah 40:29, Scripture tells us that the power of God gives strength to the faint. Have you ever felt faint? You know how you get out of being faint? The power of God. Not by taking a vacation. That only recharges your batteries for the next 2 weeks. You need the power of God to get you out of being faint. How about this one? Psalm, Jeremiah, and Luke tells us that in God's power you find your refuge. I'm getting bombarded. The world's caving in. Everything's going wrong. You need to go to God's power because he's able to put you in a place of refuge. Beautiful. Beautiful. How about this one? We're reminded in Mark, Luke, as well, that we discover the power of God manifest through Jesus in every word, action, and deed. Paul says that in Acts and in Romans that we as believers are empowered by the power of God, by the filling of the Holy Spirit. How about this? Paul says in Romans and in Corinthians that the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus that was seen by Paul was manifest by divine power. What did that knock Paul off the horse? Or the donkey, depending on what translation you have. Right? The power of God moved into his situation. And he heard, who is it? It's Jesus. That was the power of God that came into Paul's existence at that moment. Woke him up to a reality. And then I love this. In 1 Peter 3:22, grab a hold of this one, guys. Peter tells us that there are supernatural powers at work in this world. And they stand in opposition to God. But their power has already been broken and is subordinate to the power of God manifest in the Son, Jesus. So there's a power in this world. You feel it every day. But it's been broken and it is subordinate to the very power of God by Jesus Christ, who should be dwelling in you, and with the filling of the Holy Spirit should mean that you should be getting the power of God into your life. Amen. Unfortunately, I feel like what we do is, when we start running into our challenges, we run down to Dollar General, and we get the batteries of the world, and we try to plug it in, and we think, okay, I can get by this. can't. We need to unplug ourselves from the world, and we need to get back into the power source of God. Jesus, you know what Scripture tells us about what Scripture tells us about Jesus' power? It tells us that Jesus was not only historical, but he's also ongoing. Jesus didn't stop, guys. Time out. Let me get that into your minds here. He was historical, but he hasn't stopped. He's still ongoing. And because he's ongoing, guess what Scripture tells us? That Jesus Christ has power over all the elements, over all human life, ultimately over sin, over forces of evil, over Satan, and even over death. Oh my goodness, what kind of power do you want to draw from? He is historical and ongoing, and he has power over everything. So when we say, Lord, help, what we need to be saying is, Lord, fill us with your power. Because if you have dominion over evil, even over death, and over Satan, and over all these circumstances, and over my life, then I need the power of the Father in my circumstance, which, oh, by the way, was made manifest in the Son and given to me in the promise of the Holy Spirit. I am a walking power plant. If I could only tap in the plug of my life into the right source. You see, this is the kind of power Elijah had when he was facing the prophets of Baal and Ahab and Jezebel at Mount Carmel. Now, you know the story, and I'm just going to give you the real abbreviated version. Elijah goes up to Mount Carmel because Elijah said, okay, I'm coming out 3 years. Here's my coming out party. I'm coming out. So he comes out to Mount Carmel, and there's Ahab, and there's Jezebel, and there are the people of Israel on the mountain, and there are the prophets of Baal, and the prophets of Baal set up their altar, and they start worshiping, and they start dancing, and they start singing, and they're going crazy, and there's Elijah. And Elijah starts saying, maybe Baal's asleep. Maybe he's resting. Now, by the way, the reason that it's even more funny than what it sounds like is because we have learned from Canaanite historical facts that they believe that Baal actually took vacations. So when Elijah's saying maybe he's sleeping or resting, what he's really saying is, well, maybe Baal just took a vacation for 3 years and didn't give you any rain. So wake him up. Call him out of vacation. Give him a ring on the cell phone. Right? And he's saying that. And then Elijah says, hey, maybe you need to get a little bit more loud. Maybe he's just not hearing it. So they get even more frenzied, right? We look at that and we say, man, he's got arrogance. No, 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 no. He doesn't have arrogance. Because Elijah's not on Mount Carmel acting out of himself, out of his courage or his own power. He came out of obscurity because he had been harnessing the power of God, had already walked in the courage of God. So when he goes up there, guess what he's walking with? Courage and power from the Father. And so when he's out there saying, hey, why don't you do this? It's God through him saying, you're wasting your time. Israel, look at these prophets of Baal and your kings who are calling on these deities that have not brought you rain. You see, Elijah's walking in courage. It makes no sense. One man with a death sentence for 3 years comes on a mountain. Naturally speaking, he should be dead on arrival. But he's not. Why? God's courage and God's power is behind him. So much so that he says, a little bit louder, he can't hear you. But it's because Elijah already knew it was going to happen. Now, he didn't know how God was going to do it, but he already knew it was going to happen. Because he was already tapped into God's power source. So he knew after all the big party was going on, and then he said, okay, you're done? You're done. Now, let's see what the Lord's getting ready to do. And here's the beautiful thing. Remember about redemption, guys. Elijah takes 12 stones, not 10. You see, Elijah was ministering to Ahab and Jezebel in the northern 10 tribes. It had been 58 years since the northern and the southern kingdom had split. 2 in the south, 10 in the north. It had been 58 years. God didn't tell Elijah, get 10 stones, because I'm only dealing with 10 tribes. God told Elijah, get 12 stones, because I'm dealing with all of my children. You see, when Elijah got 12 stones and set up the altar that the Lord was getting ready to do a work on, he was reminding everyone, guys, this is not just about you and your story. It's about your cousins in the south as well. God wants to redeem everyone to worship him with all their heart, soul, and being. So now you're getting ready to see a God display of power. But God's wanting to remind you, this is more than, look at, this is bigger than just Elijah. And this is bigger than just Ahab and Jezebel. And it's bigger than just the prophets of Baal and just whoever's sitting on Mount Carmel. This is a message for everyone. So here's Elijah. He's sitting there and here's what happens. We talked about the power of God. Remember, the power of God is he can do whatever he wills. He's omnipotent, but his power is restrained by his character. We know that the power of Jesus is manifest in all his deeds and works and does, and he has power and dominion over all things, right? But what do we see here in Elijah? What could have been the easy answer? Lord, I'm here on Mount Carmel. I'm going to do a sacrifice. The easy answer is, Lord, send rain, right? It's been 3 years. There hasn't been a drop. Send rain. What did God send? Fire. Now, I'm going to really kind of stretch your mind here a little bit. What did God really send in the fire that consumed all things on the altar? Where else do we read in Scripture where the men and women of God who were gathered in the upper room waiting for the promise, they were consumed with fire? Not literal fire this time, but the fire of the Holy Spirit. You see, what we see in the Old Testament, what happened with Elijah was God replaying a story. I'm about my power, I'm about redeeming you through my son, and I'm about filling you with my spirit. I could send you rain, and I will send rain. Rain did come, by the way. But I want to show you my fire. You see, what ended up happening was this. The power of the Holy Spirit came down. You know what the power of the Holy Spirit is in Scripture? The power of the Holy Spirit is the power to equip you and me to live and reign in the reality of God as on this earth. You can walk in power. You can have the power of God, but you need something in you every day to regenerate you to live according to the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of this world. You need to be equipped with more than just, Lord, help me. You need to be equipped with a prayer language that is filled with the power of God, that is backed with the courage of God. So when you walk out into your world and someone says, I'm sick, and you lay hands on the sick and they recover, they say, you heal me. And you say, no, I didn't heal you. The power of God burst into your situation through me. Amen. Because I spent time harnessing the power of God. I spent time in His Word, praying, seeking, meditating, asking of Him, inquiring of Him. I didn't spend time in my obscurity, whimpering and whining about my condition. I stayed close to where the power source was. So when the time came, He could fill me and then launch me out like an Elijah to have courage and power and do the work of the kingdom on this earth. When you're doing that, I'm going to tell you, lives around you have to change. And your world has to change. Why? Because we know what happens in the story of Mount Carmel. The fire comes down, it consumes everything on the altar of Elijah. And then the result was, the people that were there fell prostrate before the Lord. And they said, we will worship the Lord our God alone. It changed them in a moment. All the partying, all the screaming, all the yelling, nothing. One moment. One man. But God was already dealing with the hearts of people. You see, Elijah was not afraid to meet King Ahab. Nor was he afraid to tell the king the truth. Likewise, when you are filled with the power and courage of the Holy Spirit, you need to understand you are not fighting against this world any more than Elijah was fighting against Ahab and Jezebel. That's the key, by the way. Elijah knew he's not fighting against Jezebel and Ahab. They're nothing. They are nothing. I'm on a God mission. I'm not fighting you. But I am, in the courage and power and the Spirit of God, I am getting through, bypassing you, getting right to the source that has power over that source. I'm getting ready to change your world, says the Lord. Don't be afraid to speak God truth in a day when, as it says in Scripture in this passage, people are limping and tottering between two ways. That's what Elijah said, by the way, in 1 Kings 18. When all the prophets of Baal are screaming around, Elijah says to the people, how long will you limp and totter between two ways? In other words, how long will you stay on the fence? Let me give you a better analogy than that. In the 1880s, the Republican Party was getting absolutely killed in the newspapers because they were being called mugwumps. You know what a mugwump is? You ever heard the phrase mugwump? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. It's a mugwump. A mugwump is a caricature of a person whose mug is on one side of the fence and whose womp is on the other side of the fence. So the newspapers in the 1880s were saying to the Republican Party, stop being mugwumps. Pick a side. That's what Elijah's saying. That's what God's telling us today. Don't be mugwumps, body of Christ. Pick a side. Whose power and courage do you want to tap into? Who do you want to draw from? Where do you want to get your victory from? Who do you want to be filled with? Pick a side. Stop limping and tottering between two ways, trying to figure out if I ride the middle of the fence long enough, I'll be able to pick at the right time which side I'm on. You won't. You won't. You won't. That's why Elijah said, guys, God's giving you an opportunity to plug in now. And they did. Thank you, Jesus. They did. They did. When the people of God obey and they trust in the courage and the power of God, God, I want to drop this one in here as well. When we will trust in the power of God, you have no reason for fear or failure. Let me say it again. When you are plugged in and trust in the power and courage of God, you have no reason for fear and failure. I know there's adversity. I know there's struggle. I know there's challenges. But when you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and you have Jesus Christ in you, He has power and authority because it is His rightful place. And He is the most excellent of all things. It's His place to have dominion over everything, even Satan. So if we're filled by the Holy Spirit, and we're walking in the Spirit, and we're living in the Spirit, and we have Christ dwelling in us, and we are plugging into Him as the power source, and we are walking in His courage and in His might, not our own, then why are we struggling with fear or failure? Now, we may have setbacks. Why? Because, as I said in Scripture, there are powers in this world that are warring against the power of God. So you have adversities. But you don't have fear. And you shouldn't despair. And you shouldn't worry about failures. Greater is He that is in you than he is in the world. The reality is, God did it with Jacob at Bethel. God did it with Samuel at Mizpah. God did it with Elijah at Mount Carmel. He always put up the reminder to the people of Israel, come back to me, and I will fill you once again. I'll redeem you. I know you made mistakes, Jacob. I know Israel under Samuel's time got away 16 years from the presence of God. And in the case of Elijah, 58 years after the presence of God. You see, we have a tendency to get further and further away from God than we like to think. But God is still saying, I'll raise up Elijah's, I'll raise up Samuel's, I'll raise up Jacob's, I'll raise up anybody who will plug into the source of the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and I will send you out in my courage and in my power and in my might to wake the people back up again to serve me alone. If they do, they'll experience what it's like to live in the kingdom, to see a changed life, to see a changed world around you. In your time of waiting, in your time of longing, in your time of wanting to be purposeful, do not look at your season as one long season of decline. Look at it as an opportunity for you to grow in the power of God. Spend that season in prayer, meditating on His Word, seeking His face, counseling in His wisdom. Ask of Him when the time is right and wait for Him to tell you. Come out of obscurity and move. Admittedly, waiting is difficult. But in the wait, if you are building up your courage and power in Him, the time will be right and He will send you forth like an Elijah, and you will have an audience waiting to see and hear the power of God once again. You see, it's not just about you being in obscurity. You may be praying for that person that you've been ministering to your whole life getting saved, and God's working on that person right now. I mean, God says now is the time. Where they were once closed, they're now completely open. Why? Because God has been working on them also. The showdown at Mount Carmel concludes with the gathering of people together, repentance, and rededication. In one simple word, revival. Israel was revived once again during the life of Elijah. It's not how we always define revival, right? But it was a revival. People's hearts went back to the Lord. God's not finished with you, people. God is not finished with you. Jeanette, Mona, John, Valerie, Corey, Brad, Michelle, Candy, Ricky, Kirby, Wendy, Yanni, Billy, Saul, Javi, Joshua, Paul, Mona. God's not finished with you. Not finished. He wants you to walk in the purposes and the plan of God, and He wants to fill you with His full power and His full courage. He wants to fill you with the Father, the Son. So it's time to walk in that. Amen. It's time to walk in that. Praise God. Let's pray.
The preceding message by Joshua Johnyan was brought to you by friends and partners of Maranatha Koinonia, helping people everywhere believe that Jesus is the only way. Be sure to visit us at maranathach.com and like us on Facebook and Twitter at Maranatha Koinonia.